All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
Please, before I start my message, I just want to add something to the answer you gave that young man. One of the things I've noticed in that area, all right, please, and I want everybody to pay attention to this. The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. You should never be the one to be bragging on how good you are. The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason is that as a human being, you may think you are very good. That's what you think. Just like Aaron Ike said, how you will know is when you have a lot of demand for your work. And that is how you start grading your prizes. Like, there's one thing you notice, if you have ever had to use workmen, masons, like as an example, plumbers. The good ones, they are never idle. When you say, please, oh, I have a job to do in my house. The man will tell you, please, next week, Wednesday, right now, I am, for those of us in Enugu, they say, I'm in Udi, I'm doing one work now. He said, what about tomorrow? It's urgent. He said, please, I'm sorry. In fact, the man I have in mind, he will say, okay, I will come and look at it early tomorrow, but I can't do it tomorrow. You have to wait till Saturday. He has never told me I'm very good, though. But anytime you want him to work, that's when you will know he's very good. Because if you call him before he has your time, and he's a very nice man, he will talk to you very nicely, he will do your work very well, but tell him to, and he will tell you straight, please, I'm working here, I'm not free for the next 1 week. There's one building that they are working on, and the owner wants to use it, so we are working every day. You can only sneak, if you want to have a major construction to do, forget. You probably have to book him like 3 months or 6 months ahead. All those quickly, let me do something small. He can just sneak out one morning, quickly do it for you, and go back to his work. So, I just want us to bear that in mind. The Bible says, let another praise you, not your own lips. You must never be the one that thinks you are good. You must hear the testimonies, all right, again and again, before even you start believing it. And no matter how good you are, you can always get better. Did you hear what I said? No matter how good you are, you can always get better. Let the amount of, you know, demand you have start being the one to now increase your prices. You understand my point? Because if everybody is willing to pay you 10 naira, you have 100 people who want you one day. You say, okay, it's 20 naira. Let's so that many people will go away and let you still have some peace. That's one trick to use about that. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. I know we have been in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we'll just continue from that point, and I'll get into, please, my piece of paper. We trust the Holy Spirit that he will continue to enlighten the hearts of his people and give them insight in the name of Jesus Christ, and that I speaking will speak his word alone and not my own thoughts in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, can you give me some more volume on the speaker? Just a little bit. I find I'm shouting. Just a little bit more volume. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, okay, that's good, that's good. Yes, thank you very much. All right, I can relax now. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, please give me another amen.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, I'm just going to continue. I'm following the topics I was given. And the last one I'm taking is the rising of the righteous, which the way I'm going to take it is just a continuation of what I discussed yesterday, leadership and economic revolution in Africa. Like I said yesterday, I took it from a spiritual perspective. There's many more things. If a businessman were to talk to you, he will give you facts and figures about things that are currently going on in this continent. And as a matter of fact, the fastest growing economies in the world right now, they are in Africa. All right? That's a matter of fact. That these countries that are developing, you know, if you have developed to a level, further development is a bit slower. But when you are coming from behind and you are running fast, all right, some of those fastest running countries right now is in Africa. But this is my own understanding of it spiritually. It is as the light of the gospel is spread. It is as the light of the gospel goes out that development comes. He said that in him was life, in John chapter 1, And that life was the light of men. And that light shines in darkness. And darkness cannot overcome or understand it. And it's very important you understand that it's the coming of the light of God that brings development to a people. If people don't have light, they will never develop. Let me say that again. If people don't have light, they will never develop. When Reverend Oliver was talking about missions and all of that, he made a statement that if you go out for missions, you appreciate what the Europeans and Americans did in coming to Africa those days. You see, go as at this year, 2013, you see, go to parts of Africa that is difficult to get to. So people will criticize the white people that they came to loot Africa and that you come and pay for the things they took away that time. I say, stop saying that. They came, and because of their coming, we had light, the type we did not have before. Are you getting my point? So even though they took away slaves, we dash you the slaves. Even though they took away gold, we dash you the gold. Those things they took away is far less in value than the things that they brought in that process. Because light is interesting. Light, when it comes, treasure you did not know was there, all right? Light will show it to you. You now realize that actually you are rich. Listen to me, if they gave each person, this is a matter of fact, and please, you must learn how to judge things that are important. If somebody came in here now and said, okay, maybe six children that are just born, maybe the oldest being the age of 5, he now says that all of you are going to choose something, and you're a parent or you're a supervisor for those children. I'm either going to give you $10 million or give you an education. Please choose the education, forget the dollars. Even if he says it's $1 billion, choose the education, forget the dollars. Unless they tell you that you can, in fact, they can use the money to buy education, that is, you cannot go and go to school on your own. But this, the way I'm going to reason is that they say you either choose education or the other. You can't take the two. Please choose the education. And education is not just about book. I hope you get my point. It's about light. It's about enlightenment. It's about understanding. It's about knowing things. It is not good that in this day and age, things are happening, people still don't know about them. All right? Sometimes I read newspapers. I've not seen it in a long time. They'll say a young boy made an electric fan, and it's being paper that is a genius. And I always laugh. You know why I always laugh? Whoever is writing that, he's not informed. He will have known that to make an electric fan, we used to do when we were in secondary school. All you need to do was have Abbott, Nelcon. Then later on, we have Nelcon and Packer. The circuits are all inside there. And we used to do those things, you know, in secondary school. We just get our wires and start doing things. I had a classmate we used to call Boguleche. Boguleche means he can do everything. That boy could do everything from climbing trees to manufacturing microscope. I'm serious. The kind of things the boy used to do. This guy. So when I see someone, I tell them that, they saw one genius young boy, he made an electric fan. Or he made a toy car that can move. I said, you are not informed. All you need to do is pay DSTV small money and watch Discovery Channel. I'm telling you, you will see small boys that do competition in making remote control toys that can fight. That is, the competition is that you must make the toy yourself. Do not give you arena. You make your car, it makes the other car. So your two cars are going to fight to see which will push each other off. And it's remote control. And you see the boy, young boys. So when one boy winds electric motor and the thing is turned, they say, it's a genius. Ah, nonsense genius. Because people say those because they are not enlightened. We start celebrating things. There was a time, you remember one joker in Nigeria called Dr. He said he was curing HIV. If you notice, no doctor gave him any respect. But the pressmen were saying, yes, yes. But because those of us who are in the field, we've read what he said. Say, this man is deceiving people. But if you say it, they'll say that, why can't Nigeria encourage you? So how can we encourage nonsense? Like a man goes to mix some concussion. Okay, there was one man in Benin that time, one of the traditional medicine people. It's ignorance. When people are not enlightened, they celebrate foolishness. Abalaka was there deceiving everybody. Anytime you say, okay, let us come and talk about it. If he knows doctors are coming, he won't come. But if he's only a journalist, he'll sit down there because he knows they don't know the thing. But when his colleagues that know it come, he will run away. Because if you pose two or three questions to him, he can't answer it. You say the patients are doing well. Doing well in medicine must have indices. We check the doing well, we can write it that, okay, last time you came, your PCB was 25. Today, it has increased to 34. That is what we call doing well. It's not like, oh, you're looking happy. That's your problem. Whether you're happy or sad, it depends on whether you drank or you didn't drink. You know, it can be affected. He said, oh, the patients are doing well. What do you mean by doing well? There are indices we will check. How can you be the one to develop a drug, test it, sell it? Nobody else is checking it. Does it make sense in any society? Those days, it was paining. In fact, you know what just paining was? Adora Akunyele was not yet NAFDAC DG that time. If she was the one, she would throw the man in prison. She would grab the man and throw him in prison. Anybody can say what they like. She doesn't care. She will go carry you with police, throw you inside prison. Because the man was breaking so many laws. People say, if he's in America, they will encourage him. I said, in America, they will put him in prison for 25 years. You inject somebody with a drug that has not been tested, you are going to jail for life. But when people are not informed, they will be celebrating it. Celebrating all kinds of things. Celebrating it. And that's what I mean by education, information. You can never advance except you are enlightened. That's what an Englishman calls reinventing the wheel. That is, you want to design tire again. They've made tire many years ago. Design something else. But a lot of people do not know that tires have been made. So they still sit down and they say, we can create a new tire. They say, what have you made that people had not made before you? The beautiful thing about being enlightened is that you can now take off from where other people stopped. You don't have to start again. You take off from where they stopped. You don't make their mistake. And that's why I said people must go for information, go for enlightenment. Sometimes when you talk about computers, an example, some people say, that one is for, you know, it's for men who, there's nothing like that. My mechanic used a computer and he doesn't have a university degree. Because when everybody is doing something, he too will look and say, what are they doing? He'll go there and go and learn it. It can be taught to anybody. One day I got to his office, we were discussing on my car whether how many liters he was supposed to use to change the oil. The engine is very, very big. So he was saying this. I said, that won't be enough. So 2.5 hours I was discussing. Okay, so let us solve the problem. He brought his computer, I brought my own. We both of us hooked onto the internet and started checking for what Toyota said is the number of liters you use to change the size of that oil. So we finally found it in there. He's a mechanic. Do you get what I'm going to explain? That's why I said, when people say that white man looted Africa, I said, he didn't loot Africa. Anything he took, we dash him. We dash him, take it away. May God bless you abundantly for giving us enlightenment, for making our eyes open to see things that we didn't see before. We forgive him for taking slaves. We forgive him for taking money, for colonizing us, and helping us to develop small. We forgive. We forgive. What I'm trying to say is this. So the gospel is what brings light. And light is the thing you need for development. That's what I'm saying, all of this. If you're not enlightened, the development is going to be difficult. I'm talking as a preacher now because that's the foundation of everything. I was in Ghana the other day. We went to visit one of the castles from where they used to export slaves. And the guide was talking to us as if those people were hypocrites. Because you see where they are maltreating, and it was horrible, where they maltreat slaves. A hall like this, of course, not up to this size, maybe like one half of this, they can pack like 500 people inside. It's underground, not even above ground. And those ones will sit down there for the next 2 months, waiting for the ship to come, not going out. If you want to eat, any little food they give you, eat it there. If you want to urinate there. And then that thing you want to do, you do it there. But right above that dungeon was a chapel. As an Anglican chapel. So they said these people are hypocrites. That how can you be up there preaching? Yeah, you kept slaves down there. And I laughed. Being a Christian, somebody who understands spiritual things, I told the people beside me, I said, that's not hypocrisy. They were trying to make it look as if they are not true Christians, that how can they put a chapel here? I said, do you know, without that chapel, the slavery will have lasted forever. I don't know whether you catch what I'm saying there. That without that chapel, that slavery would have lasted forever. It lasted for maybe by 100 years and it stopped. Because God knew what he was doing. He put a bit of light every place where bad things were being done. He put small light. You will see a picture of the first black man there that they took abroad, taught him, and brought him back. He was a chaplain there, or later on became a bishop or something. So they were looking at Steve and said, hey, what kind of nonsense is that? You say you are Christian. Said, listen to me. If those guys did not continue preaching that gospel in the midst of that slavery would never have come to an end. That gospel was... Now, you may not be able to draw the connection, but as the light of God is coming, it's entering the land bit by bit, all the evil things like slavery starts disappearing. They start disappearing. And that is why it's so important that as Christians, we recognize that first and foremost, what we need is the light of God. We don't just rush out early in the morning. The Bible says, vain for a man to rise up early and come to bed late. One of the reasons why it is vain is that God will not be able to illuminate his or her eyes to be able to see the real things that the person is supposed to do that will make for development. The only thing that will help you develop in light, listen to me, is the light of God. Many of the places you say are developed and they say they are not Christians. You know what you don't realize? That they were Christians. They are now backsliding. The development they experienced was because of the light of God that entered the place. But the children afterwards, they forgot the source of that development. And that was why God commanded in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, he said, thou shalt remember, it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee power. Now, why did he say thou shalt remember? Because the natural tendency is that you may forget. Men often forget. But the fact is that how they got that development in the first place was because the light of God was shined upon them. Somebody shone that light upon them. You understand? And because of that, they had the development. But after people get used to it, the Bible says Jeshurun became fat and he kicked. Sometimes when people have eaten fat in the presence of God, they kick. Then they forget the source of their blessing. But the fact is that as long as you continue to recognize the source of blessing and give attention to the word of God, it continues to give you insight. It continues to give you revelation. It continues to give you illumination. And on the basis of that, you continue to make progress. And that's what we've been discussing. I began to talk about that yesterday. And I want us to go in. We're talking about the rise of the righteous. And I want to continue on this particular trend, explaining this issue of development and the role of righteousness. Now, first of all, I would like to explain what righteousness means. Now, I want to be very practical about the word righteousness. What can I use now? Okay, yes. If you have a phone here, I assume it is off, all right? Your phone is off, amen? If it's not off, put it off now, please. I'm expecting an important phone call. Please go and sit outside. You'll be able to hear from there. But if you're inside the hall, please, I beg in the name of the Lord, put off your phone. All right? Now, but let us assume now that you want to charge that to your phone that is off currently. I want to ask you a very simple question. Everybody can answer it. Are you going to throw it inside fire? Because if you want to charge your soup, you put the soup inside. If you want to charge soup, you put it on fire, right? Uh-huh. But when you charge your phone, do you put it inside water and put it on fire? No, you don't do that. If you want to charge your phone, what do? You plug it to electricity. Now, let us assume that in your area there's a fault, and you record the voltage, and at that time it's reading 500 volts. Are you going to plug it? Normal voltage is like 220 in Nigeria. You will not plug it. It's excessive. All right? Now, what you have done in the life of that phone is what the Bible calls righteousness. Righteousness simply means to do the right thing. That is simple. Now, why did I use the phone as an example? Why you will not do unrighteousness? Because charging your phone with 1,000 volts is unrighteousness. Charging it by putting it on the cooking pot in a frying pan and putting it on fire is unrighteousness. If you do this unrighteousness to your phone, what happens? It spoils. It burns. It fries. You bought an iPhone, that's the end of it. It's dead. You can't say, look, this my phone is an iPhone. It's very good. I know Apple made it very good. It's a Samsung Galaxy S4. It's very good. So, when I want to charge it, I put small kerosene on it and put it near the fire because there's no light. You know, NEPA has taken light. So, You can use kerosene to cook, if not electricity. So let me, it won't work. Now, it sounds funny that, well, we know this now. Yes, I want to use to explain righteousness. What you have refused to do is unrighteousness, so that it does not spoil your phone. Now, but men don't understand this. They practice unrighteousness every day in life, and it is spoiling something they don't know. Let me give you an example. I was in the news this morning on my phone, and it was a Christian news. So they were telling things that were happening in certain places. One man is trying to explain now that Christians, he has an outreach on it, training Christians how to explain to other Christians that homosexuality is good. And he will take many verses of the Bible, twist it the way he wants to say what he wants to say. Now, we're not discussing that now in details, but the simple thing is that what he's doing is that he's practicing unrighteousness. It is destroying something he does not know. It is destroying himself. If it continues, it will destroy the society. If it continues, eventually, the land will vomit up the inhabitants. Unrighteousness is not just something that God does not like, though he doesn't like unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is actually something that is not good for you, it is not good for me. Just like I wouldn't put my phone inside the frying pan, put it on fire, claiming I want to charge it, because I know it will destroy the phone. If I wanted to charge it, I will plug it with the appropriate cable to the appropriate socket. And that will be righteousness. Doing righteousness, therefore, is a blessing to me. It helps my phone charge. It lasts the next many hours. I can make my calls. I can surf the net. I can do a lot of things. I can be a blessing to myself and the people I need to communicate with. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not that, okay, as my phone is a Sony Xperia. You say, Banky, if you go and charge that thing with this power surge, Sony won't like it too. I don't know whether you hear what I say. I bought a phone, it's a Sony Xperia. I say, hey, if you use fire to charge that thing, Sony will be angry. Okay, if I were to walk to the MD of Sony and say, I want to charge this thing on fire, what will he say? He will say, don't do it. If I do it, will he be happy? But the question is, the real problem, is it his happiness? What is the real problem? It will spoil the phone. That was why Elihu said to Job, if you did unrighteousness, how will I have affected God? If you say, I did righteousness, he didn't pay me. He said, okay, do unrighteousness, how will it affect God? That your righteousness affects you and the people around you. If you do unrighteousness, it is you it is affecting. Please, you must follow this. Christians look at sin and unrighteousness as if, like, you know, God will be angry. Yes, I know he will be angry. I'm not saying that we should make him angry because he's a nice person. No. It's not just a father, he's also a judge. If you do what is evil, he has a duty to issue the appropriate judgment. Is that okay? But I want to emphasize something else. We're not doing righteousness just because it will make God happy and unrighteousness will make him sad. We are doing it because it is good for us, and unrighteousness is not good for us. You wonder why I'm saying this, but you will see it in a moment. Because we are talking about the rise of the righteous. Sony is a company, right? They can make a phone. Samsung is a company, they make phone. Apple, the company, they make phones, they make tabs, they make stuff like that. Therefore, they tell you how it works. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Let me give an example now. If I made a new phone and I call it Banky Mobile, all right, and you don't know how it works, who will you ask? It's me now. You come and ask me. Anything you do on that phone that's not in accordance with what I said is unrighteousness, and your phone will not be a blessing to you. Who made this earth? Who invented everything on this earth? God in heaven. Anything you do that is not in accordance with his instructions is unrighteousness, and it will not be a blessing to you. Do you get the point I'm making? It's important we follow this. We are talking about the rise of the righteous. What is righteousness? Righteousness means I walk in the order that God prescribes. And if indeed he made everything, I am the one that will be above and I will not be beneath. Any other person or any person who uses the order that is not in accordance with the order of God will fail and I will succeed. Please, get what I'm trying to explain. When we're talking about righteousness, we have a positional righteousness in Christ Jesus because of our faith. But I want you to understand that that knowledge of God always tells us how to live and how to do things. And when we're talking about development, if we're talking about advancement, if we're talking about prosperity, if we're talking about victory, if we're talking about dominion, there are instructions from God which we must follow. And we follow them not just as to be pleasing to Him, even though that's our primary goal, but we follow them because they are right. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Let me give a very practical example. Like the Bible, God will say that this is an abomination to God. Any man that uses differing weights, you know what they mean, a differing weight? Okay. Have you been to the market before when they want to sell? They still use that now, and I've not been to market in a very long time. You know what I'm saying? Usually, when you become a man, you marry, you there are some things, old things pass away. Unless your business, you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So some things have passed away in my life long ago, all right? But a few times, those days when I went to market, you know that if they used to use this tin, they don't use them anymore. When we're young, I mean, follow my mother and all of that. There's this tin they used to use for measuring garri and rice, you know, stuff like that. It was made of, it's metal, so they can bend it. So they bend it like, you understand my point? Why do they bend it? So that the thing will fill up quickly. That's what the Bible calls a weight, you know, so to speak, all right? Okay, these girls that sell groundnuts, there's one they used to do, I don't know, they didn't do it anymore. They put paper at the bottom of the tin, of the cups, as if we will not see it. Now, let me ask you a question. When they want to buy, do they put that paper there? That's what I call differing weights. When you want to buy, you use the one that favors you. When you want to sell, use the one that disfavors your customer. Now, the Bible says it's an abomination to God. Abomination. That's what he calls it. The one that's also very common is a filling station. They say 97 naira a liter. That liter is supposed to be one complete liter. But most people will twinkle with the liter a bit so that to give you maybe just shave like 10% of the liter. So instead of buying 1 liter, you buy 0.9 liters for 97 naira. And if the man starts cheating, by the time he sells 1,000 liters and he has cheated everybody of just a small fragment, he has 100 liters, he cannot sell at 97 and I make extra money. And many filling stations do it. And God says it is an abomination. Let me tell you what an abomination is. An abomination is something that is so detestable in God's sight, He judges it quicker than other things. It's not every sin that God calls an abomination. Some of them are just sins, iniquity. I don't like it. Don't do it. It's not good for you. There are some that he says is an abomination. Is that it pollutes the land and it brings forth judgment quicker. The patience of God with abominations is short. And I'm telling you, God said directly that anybody that does business the way I've described it is practicing an abomination. Now, another point I should make. Spiritual things are very real. You cannot disconnect spiritual things with practical things. Practical things are controlled by spiritual things. I'm bringing an issue here. So if I do business like that, one day, rain will fall, erosion will come near my house and sweep away the house. Nobody can connect the two. Are you getting my point? But God connected it. He said, for this thing that this man did in the market, remove his house in the village. There's no connection, physically speaking. It is not as if those who were angry with you when they say, let's burn his house. No. But the God that is the judge, whose rules have been flouted, he utters a decree against that act and it lands on somebody's house 200 kilometers away. So unrighteousness actually does not pay. It doesn't. It never pays. Initially, it appears as if it's paying, but it does not pay. The one that's very common, you know, our people, you know, China man, Some of them will die and go to heaven, but many of them are going to hellfire because of wickedness. When they say, okay, this thing is very good. You see that it's selling, is very nice, it's working well for people. People will go to the place, make it, put the original name on it, shine it up to look like the real thing, bring it in, and start selling it initially as the real thing. The Bible says it is evil in his sight. Are you getting my point? And I'm saying something. Unrighteousness, we all, listen to what I'm saying, we always be judged. God will always judge it. But my topic is the rise of the righteous. In the time of divine judgment, only the righteous will stand. Let me say it again. In the time of God's judgment, only the righteous will stand. Who is the righteous? It is simple. The man, we are talking to Christians now, the fellow who sticks with the principles of God in his economic advancement. It is not the one that tries to please everybody. There are people who like to please people. Listen, number one reason Christians do what they do is because they are right. It's not because they get results. I keep on emphasizing this to Christians. The reason why you obey the principles of God is because that is the right thing to do, not because it favors you. So that when it does not favor you, you still do those principles. But I'm saying to you, eventually, it will be a blessing to you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen. Okay, we talk. Okay, today is Nigeria's Independence Day, and I congratulate all of you and myself in Jesus' name. Let me quickly say it to you. Nigeria is prospering in Jesus' name. Amen. Evil is coming to an end in it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every doer of evil is being judged in Jesus' name. Amen. Every practitioner of righteousness is being elevated in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to me. Goodness and mercy will follow this country as long as you live and your children live and their children's children in the name of Jesus Christ. Because of your presence, God will show favor upon this land in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I need to just say that. Now, people have complained a lot of times that for the number of years we have been independent, the country has not made the appropriate amount of advancement. And let me say something to you. Number of years does not make a country advance. It doesn't make them advance. You can be 500 years, you still be backward. The only thing that makes a country advance is as they learn the principles of righteousness. The Bible says righteousness does what? Exalts a nation. It's just Bible. Righteousness exalts a nation. That if a nation was down, the only way to go up is by righteousness. If the nation will prosper, the only way to go up is because righteousness is being executed. When you are praying, you must learn how to pray as Christians. We pray too much for, oh God, please get what I'm saying in context. There are two sides to prayer. When you are praying for a country like Nigeria, you are praying for a community, you are praying for a large group of people. There are two kinds of prayers you must always pray. You will pray for God's mercy and you will pray for God's judgment. Did you hear what I said? You know why? You can never have progress if God does not judge iniquity. You can't. No matter, go and read Revelations. When they began to break the seal, all that was coming out was judgment on God's enemies. All that was coming out was judgment on God's enemies. Go and read the prophetic word that God gave Jeremiah. He put a word in his mouth. He said, I put my word in your mouth. With that word, you will pull down. You will destroy, you will break down, you will overthrow, then you will build and you will plant. Four acts of judgment before two acts of blessing. The reason is because the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. One sinner destroys much good. That's what the scripture says. When you are praying for the country and praying and praying and praying, no matter how hard you pray, God has to judge evil and judge iniquity before he can bring forth prosperity. Tony Bakare gave a prophetic word about Nigeria some time ago. Interpretation of it may be difficult, but I know I believe that word totally. And he made it clear that progress is not coming until judgment comes. He made it clear. that progress will not come until judgment comes. I heard him say it on TV, and he said it, thus says the Lord. You know, there are things he says, it's like he's preaching from the Bible. There are things he says, you know, he's angry with some people. But this one he said, he stood and said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord. Now, I'm trying to make an issue here. When God comes to judge iniquity, only the righteous will stand. And it's important that Christians learn to pray that prayer. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that God is not slow concerning his promises, just like his long-suffering, that he is patient, hoping that people will repent. His judgment will eventually come, but sometimes he waits, hoping that people will repent, because he's very quick to forgive. As long as people repent, you know, sincerely, God will forgive them and make it look as if they did not do anything wrong. But when people do not repent, his judgment will come, and only the righteous will stand. Please bear that in mind. I started by explaining the meaning of the word righteousness. When we're talking about the principles of ministry, we're talking about the principles of business, we're talking about the principles of marriage, we're talking about principles of any career somebody has chosen. The thing that we exalt you in that place is the practice of righteousness. There is a mistake Christians make today. Very common. They think it is prayer. Did you hear what I said? So you see a man who's doing iniquity, he thinks he can pray blessing upon his iniquity. I'm sorry to disappoint you, it doesn't work like that. What prayer does for you, and this, I'm telling you, is a matter of fact. If you are walking in an error and you do not know, God will never bless your error, but he will send you a word of correction if you pray. I hope you get what I'm saying. If what you are doing is wrong, and you do not know is wrong, and you are sincere in your doing of wrong, the only blessing God puts there is the blessing of correction. He will say to you, what you have done is not right. Go and see what happened to Abimelech when he took Abraham's wife. Abimelech, in their culture that time, the way things are, because God overlooks a lot of things, all right? He overlooked the fact that the man was just sitting down and be gathering wives. David did it, he overlooked it. Solomon did it. He didn't pay Solomon. He didn't pay David too, I hope you know. I hope you know David, all those gathering of wives, did not favor him. In case you do not know, the only son he had whose head was correct was Solomon. And that one learned the bad habits of his father and still went astray later on in life. He did not favor him. All his sons were very spoilt, were spoilt children. So don't follow David in how to raise children. No, it's not good. The only thing you follow him is how he taught Solomon after he had made all the mistakes. Follow his love for God. Some other areas, eh? Don't follow him. Now, Abimelech, that's what I was talking about. So God overlooked it. But in the midst of that, there are things that God does not ever overlook. If the woman is another person's wife, you are in trouble. And the trouble is big. Now, Abimelech did not know that that was Abraham's wife. You've read the story in the Bible. Did he know? He did not know. Why did he not know? Abraham and Sarah agreed to lie about it. Oh, divine. You see, that's what I was telling you about righteousness. If I tell you now, for example, that this is your tab, all right? You did not know. I gave it to you. Say, if you're feeling, if your car wants to roll back, it's very strong. You can just use it to hold the car. Now, maybe I was joking. You did not know. Are you getting my point? And then I'm just trying to tell you that it is very strong. But you didn't know that's what they call exaggeration or hyperbole. I was just trying to make a point that this is very strong. And I now jokingly say, in fact, if your car is rolling back, use this thing to just shock it there. And then a few days down the line, you are going to one rural village for evangelism. It rained. And your car starts rolling back. You just say, oh, please, take this my tab. Used to hook it. Bank is there to hold it. And I'm going to say, okay, one man of God to another man of God, they must have been speaking prophetically. And he takes it and puts it between the tire and the stone. Next thing you hear is crack. The thing is dead. And I say, what happened? But Banky said, now, this is what I'm going to make. That was what Abraham did to Abimelech. Abimelech believed Abraham. Are you getting my point? But it still didn't change the fact that unrighteousness is bad for you. The fact that you did not know that what I said was a joke, does it spoil that, stop that thing from spoiling? It is a spoil. It didn't stop it from spoiling. But this is the kindness of God. This is the kindness of God. You may now come and say, ah, but Panky, you said this thing. I said, I was joking now. You took me serious. Say, no. This is what you've done is not good. And I'm a nice man. I say, I'm sorry. Let me give you another one for half the price. That is called what? Mercy. Do you see what mercy is? But if you had deliberately, you knew it was wrong and you put it in the fire and you come and tell me, will I answer you? But because you made the mistake, I was okay, let's do something so that it won't be only your call. Okay, bring half of the money that I sold you the other one, then I can meet you halfway. That is what they call mercy. In Abimelech's case, this is the point I'm making. Iniquity is bad for you. It's not whether God is angry or God is not angry. He took Abraham's wife and instantly a disease entered into his household and all the women were barren instantly. And God was going to kill Abimelech. But because he's a merciful God, he came to meet Abimelech in a dream and said, Abimelech, you're a dead man. And listen, when God says you're a dead man, he calls those things that be not as though they were. Do you understand my point? If he says you're dead, believe him. The fact that you're still talking doesn't mean you're not dead. You're dead. So he said to Abraham, you're a dead man. And Abimelech said, what have I done? He said, you took a prophet's wife. He said, which one? No prophet has come near here in recent times. He said, Abraham. He said, no, sir. He said it was his sister. He said, it's his wife. He said, no, now. He was the one that lied. He said, yes. He said, you know, I'm a man of integrity. He said, I know. That is why I have come to tell you. Therefore, restore his wife and let him pray for you, so that the plague that has entered your house will stop. You did not know, doesn't mean I won't punish you. Even Jesus said it. The servant that knows what is right and does not do it will get many stripes. But the one that doesn't know and therefore doesn't do it will get what? Few stripes. He will still get his own stripes. See, but I did not know. They didn't tell me. They say ignorance is not an excuse. It's not a valid defense in the court of law. It's like that in heaven too. God just shows special mercy. And the special mercy he shows is the mercy of what? Correction. What he does is to correct people. What he does is to correct. He comes, if you are doing what is wrong, he will come and correct you. But you will never be blessed in the midst of that which is wrong. Let's take an example now. You know what they call polygamy? One man marry many wives. Do you know the thing has never been a blessing to anybody on this earth? It has never been a blessing to anybody on this earth. It did not even bless Abraham. The son he produced was a problem to the world. Ishmael. I just saw the story of David. People say that those days, you know, I've heard that argument. Why can't we marry many wives? God says, okay, all of you, don't worry. Who wants to marry many wives? Put up your hand. All right, you can have three. You can have four. Any other person? Yes, okay. So, all right, I, as God, I have said you can marry many wives because you want to. Then a wise person will come and say, God, do you really want them to marry many wives? He'll say, no, I don't want them to, just because they want to. So how many do you want? What do you think, Lord? It says one. All right, good. You have one and you have all the blessings. See all those boys? They will have all the troubles. Solomon, you know the story of the life of Solomon. At the end of the day, you know what Solomon said? There is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the one wife of his youth after he has married 700. His father's family was a problem. Any good woman David saw, he married her. What's the name of the widow of Nabal? Abigail. He married Abigail. He will go to the... David married many wives. Most of us don't know David had a lot. Solomon learned that habit from his father. But do you know, it has never been a blessing to anybody. And wise people are learning it. I found out that the Sultan of Sokoto has only one wife. A Muslim. The head of the Council of Islamic Affairs in Nigeria has only one wife. He has found out. When I found out, I shook. The Secretary General of the Council of Islamic Affairs, one man from Oyo State, to my shock, he had only one wife. I don't know whether he's still there now. Eh? No. I think there was another one before that. There was one man that time. He had only one wife. He was the Secretary of the Council of Islamic Affairs in Nigeria. Christians will be arguing with you whether it is right or not. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to explain the issue of righteousness. There's a doing aspect of righteousness. There is a positional aspect which all our sins had to be washed away by our faith in Christ Jesus. But having become righteous by faith, God now begins, that's what I'm trying to explain. He doesn't let us continue doing what is wrong and he will bless it. He starts teaching us how to do what is right. The blessing is tied to the doing of righteousness, not the believing for righteousness. We're talking about economic advancement, prosperity, increase. Listen, the only way you will get to the level that God says you should get to, you get to in life, is when you learn the practice of righteousness. He said, hearing is a righteousness of God revealed. There is a revelation of righteousness for each thing that you are doing in life. And let me quickly say this, it is never the popular thing. Those days when banks were hiring people, you know, that's when I knew human beings could be undependable. They enter this bank today. After 6 months, they've resigned and gone to another bank. After 6 months, they've resigned and gone to another bank. After a while, I said, what you are doing, is it good? They said, that's the quickest way to move forward. I said, I don't care how forward you have moved. It does not seem right in the light of the gospel. You are undependable. One of the fruits of the spirit is called faithfulness. That you're unfaithful, you will not be blessed. Human beings might promote you, but ultimately you will not be blessed. A man should be able to count on you, that once I put this man in charge, he's the one in charge, my mind can go to rest. See, the other people will pay him off. And so, are they going to do the work he committed into your hand? The young man who assists me in ministry, when he first started working, one day his elder brother called him and said, I have gotten you a job, he pays this amount of money, come over and come and take it. What Kingdom World Ministry was able to pay that time was smaller than the job he got. But he told his brother simply, you called me one day too late. That as I yesterday, I made a commitment to Pastor Banky and I agreed with him I'll stay with him for at least 1 year. That is, right now, we didn't write any paper, we didn't sign, it was just discussion. And I explained the reason, and he understands the reason, because he handles most of the technical things for us. You understand? And you don't just walk out on that kind of thing. You know, it will be a lot of problems for me as an individual. And he told the people, straight, what I do here, before I can leave, I have to teach somebody first. But you know, this age, people are taught that the money is what matters. Listen, righteousness is what we exalt with. Let me tell you something. Life, is short. When I say short, what looks like 30 years, very soon, it will be like tomorrow. And everything material is temporal. The food that you enjoyed, you know, you enjoyed that food. Enjoyed this so much yesterday. They paid a lot of money, gathered 7 specialist cooks to cook it for only you last week. You know it has already gone to the toilet. The enjoyment has disappeared. That's how material things are. They are very temporal. They are very temporal. They don't last. What actually lasts are the moral, spiritual choices we make in the midst of our trials. That's what is recorded in heaven. That's why I told you the other day that when people tell you that when you sow money, you reap money. I said, listen, money is not a seed. You know the seed? The thing behind the money that you are giving. So if I give a man of God money, that money is nothing. It's nothing. In heaven, they don't see the money. You know what they see? The motivation for my giving him money. That's all that heaven sees. The cash is not counted. They don't record the naira. So somebody said that you go now multiply naira back to you. Don't worry about it. He doesn't bother to do that. It's unnecessary because he didn't see the naira. What he saw was the spirit behind the thing that you were doing. So if I take money, Paul said, Jesus said like this: if I give to a prophet, what's the next line? Because he's a prophet, he qualified it. Most modern day Pentecostals get nothing because they give to a prophet because they want to reap. Jesus said, if you give to a prophet because he's a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. That is, for God, the because is very important. And he did not tell you the prophet's reward is money. Did he say so? He just said you get a prophet's reward. Let him calculate the reward the way he likes. Very important. What I'm trying to say is that it is the spiritual thing behind everything that we are doing that God is counting. So in life, when we make choice sometimes and we grab plenty of money, and listen to this, we break the law of righteousness. We put ourselves out for judgment. Because on the surface, men see money and they say, this is good. God said, no, I see unfaithfulness. I see unrighteousness. Even though physically it produces cash. And let me quickly say this again. Money is never the proof that you have pleased God. Did you hear what I said? You can walk in iniquity and have 10 jeeps in your house. You can be a sinner and you build mansions. And I can prove that to you also from the scriptures. Jesus came, Satan went to Jesus Christ and said, bow before me, and what will I give you? I'll give you all these kingdoms of this earth. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had bowed, would he have been rich? No, I'm talking about spiritually, physically. If Jesus had bowed, would he have been rich? Financially, would he have had plenty of money? If he's in today's day and age, would he have had plenty of cars? He would have been moving in convoys. I hope you understand that. He would have gone to his village and built 10 mansions, drive the Igwe out of the place and built in the center of the palace. If he had bowed to Satan, then the second question, would that have been true prosperity? So let nobody deceive you. If somebody comes to you and says, look at it, God has blessed me. Look at the new Jeep I just bought. The 2013 Armada. Wow. What does he do? You don't know. How did God bless him? He can't tell you the story. The testimony is in the story, not the thing. The testimony is in what? The story. Is it one day, was Nebaka that told this story? A young man came to greet him in Lagos and gave him a brand new S-Class Mercedes-Benz. This was years ago. He looked at the keys. He looked at the boy. He looked at the car. Oh boy, what do you do? We thank God. It's just a blessing of God. I know it's a blessing of God. Where did that blessing come through? Praise the Lord. You know, sir, it's just, you know, as we are operating, he gave the boy the keys and told him to get out. He gave the boy the key. Drive that your accursed thing and drive it out of here before I curse you in the name of the Lord. Want to dash me a brand new S-Class? Why? Because I was tracking before. I'm adding my own words now. I can trek into heaven than you drive this your car into eternal damnation. Thank you. Leave me alone. He said, those days, one day a man came and dropped a tithe in the church. This was long ago. It was 5 million naira. Now imagine about 10 years ago or 15 years ago, somebody comes and drops a tithe in church. 5 million naira. So when they were counting offering, they saw the check. So they went and gave pastor. Good afternoon, sir. See you. Somebody brought this amount of money. He looked at it. They recognized him. He said, go and call him for me. That one came. He said, this is it. What is this? He said, tight, tight. That means you are telling me you made 50 million. He said, yes, sir. From where? That one was looking. Hold your check first. Go and prove to me you didn't steal the money. That one went home, brought all the papers with which he was a big contractor for federal, what they call this, aviation, this thing. I think, you know, these people who deal in airport, they do big businesses, huge businesses. He went and brought the contract award letter, the execution paper, everything. Say, okay, see, they paid. This is the difference in the money. This was my own portion of after all the work. Okay, now they now collected the check and blessed him and said, you can go. Said, don't steal money and bring it here. You know, if Achan is in your camp, you're in trouble. Achan is there with you. You know, if you are taking the 5 million or that other guy's, what they call it, S class, he will drive down, praise the Lord. He'll park outside where everybody can see it and start speaking a different language. That's what a lot of people who don't know anything, that's what they do. Praise God. If you show a kind of shade that God will be provoked, you will get the kind of car that you can settle in. Hallelujah. It's a lie. A cocaine pusher just dashed him a car. And his head is not correct again. God is more interested in the story. Any testimony you can't share is not of God. Did you hear what I said? You can't share it. Because you know your pastor was saying no. He said, hey, praise the Lord. Then after that, then the contract now came. And then the money came. And we thank God. And this is our own profit. It's 5 million naira. Amen. And they said, tell the whole story now. No, we just thank God. You know, God works in mysterious ways. What he didn't say is that you and the one PDP man joined hands. And you tripled the cost of the contract. You know, the real value is 50 million. You guys did it for 150. You've forgotten that you have to tell all kinds of lies and forge all kinds of documents. You remember? Yeah, of course, you just that you can't share the testimony. But you say, let God not be angry. Before the devourer comes upon this, my stolen money, you now come and give God a portion. You know what happened? The devourer will bring seven spirits more wicked than himself. Listen, as we are praying for the country, and we are praying for this Africa, and we are praying for God to establish development in these places, we are also praying that every evildoer, God will win, will cut them off. That God will cut them off. The major problem, I was saying that earlier, I began to say then I derailed, is that time is not what makes a place develop. Alright, I said that. But the major way by which underdevelopment came into a country like ours was because of the doing of unrighteousness. If we are done, that is, doing of unrighteousness, corruption is endemic. Not say endemic. Everybody, that is, people don't know how they can do things for people without collecting money. I made up my mind, in the course of doing this, my duties, where I work, in the hospital, you pass me an envelope, I pass it back to you. The last man who did it to me, he did some work for us and plenty of work. So finally, when he was always calling me about his money, I said, don't worry, we will pay. I'm chairman of the committee, so I called the accountant. How far would you need this money now? And I said, this happened, okay. I kept on pushing. Finally, I really helped him push the thing. When the money finally came out, oh, praise God, I was so happy. He now came to greet me. He was not doing like, what is it? I looked, an envelope. I tapped his shoulder, I said, don't worry. In my mind, don't worry, I earn more than you. I just tapped his shoulder, don't worry. Because maybe he didn't understand that somebody could be helping like this and he's doing it for nothing. I said, look, don't worry about it. It's my rule. I said, you know, if it's the cause of this work, you give me a dime, I won't take it from you. I don't want it. I will not take it from you. You know, say, maybe because you have money, it's not true. The time we're flat broke, that 15th of the month, you are searching all your pockets. You know, these days when I check my pockets, sometimes I will see 2,000 naira, 5,000 naira. Ha! I tell my wife, my things don't change. Those days, I can never search my pocket and find 2,000 naira for what? Because by the 15th of the month, I have searched all the pocket two times. You can't wash my clothes and find money inside. Now, if you wash my clothes, you have money, you see money. But those days, like where will you see the money? I was there before you. I have searched the whole thing. But even then, I remember once a man came, we helped him, he finally brought out money. He pressed on us, we refused, pushed him outside and gave it back to him. That my God doesn't like us working like that. I said, because if we start it now, the next person that comes will be wondering why is he not performing. I will do what we do for you because, I mean, we are dealing with sick people. Conscience alone should even let you know anything we can do, we do for anybody. We don't care about whether you are rich or poor, tall or short, your tribe doesn't matter. We are in a hospital where we deal with samples of those who are sick. We don't want it to be delayed. So any delay is because we couldn't help the delay. So when we can hasten it, we always hasten it. Someone will hasten it and now bring out money. No, my God, that time, it was not our... She didn't teach us like that. It was a woman. He didn't teach us like that at all. So that man came, took money. We pursued him out and said, sorry. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry. We can do something for you for free. One day, another man came. He needed his son was seriously sick. He had a tumor kind of around his kidney. So they brought it out. So they did the report quickly. And that's my department. We write the reports. We examine the tissue and all of that. So I saw that he was talking, explaining to me, please, this boy is very precious to me. He's my only son. He was talking. I said, sir, I told you it will take this number of days. Even if it's my own son, that is the least number of days it will take. I'm sorry. We will do our best. So I saw his wife, give him a sign. So he called me outside and said that he works in an oil company. And his hand had some bundle of notes. He was bringing it forth. I thought to myself, sir. That's when I told him, if it's my son, the number of days I told you is the number of days it will take. Don't worry about that, your hand. Don't worry. I went back into my office. Because by the time you take the first one, the next one now it will be, the other people will now come. Everything we did for him, we didn't even bring anything. Very soon it becomes a habit. Your body starts slowing down on those who didn't bring something. So I made it a culture. If it's the line, if you come to me professionally, like now I'm a big chief, and you come to me outside, say, please, we have a job to do somewhere. How much do you charge us? We can negotiate, okay. In fact, what I even tell people, say, must I go? Can't people come to this place? If you come here, it's free. That is not like totally free, but you will pay the hospital and I won't charge you anything extra. Nothing. But if you are coming and say, I use it to scare them because of my, I have a lot of things that in my time. I say, look, listen, if you come here, hospital charges you. But if I come there personally on a private basis, this is how much I charge you. This is cheaper for you to hire an ambulance, do this, do that. Yes, come to this side. But if you insist, you want somebody to come there and say, okay, I don't have time. I'll go and look for some of my colleagues. Because sometimes it's a lot of headache for me. I have a lot of ministry work to do and stuff. But the point I'm trying to make is that it is okay for me to discuss with you if you're hiring me to go somewhere. But once you walk into that hospital and you say, you're an official, this thing, anything I do for you, no, give me money, I'm not taking it from you. It's just my law. Because it's a bad culture in Nigeria. It's a culture, it's too bad. One day I went to court to swear to an affidavit. When I got there, I did the whole thing, typed my affidavit, did everything, and I went before the commissioner of oaths. They did everything. I signed. She signed, and I said, "Thank you, ma." Then she said, "Hey, Doc, if they take ordinary mouth, say thank you, Nigeria." I just said, "Thank you," and I left. I wanted to tell her, "Madam, if you come to my office, ordinary mouth is what I need for you to say thank you." I was very, very angry. That you're not even ashamed. You're an officer of the law. In the morning. I turned at her like this. I just said thank you and I kept on walking. I felt like saying, listen, madam, if you came to my office, that's your mouth, it's all I need. The thank you that comes from it. What have you done for me? You're sitting on the desk. You are paid. You are the commissioner of oaths. You are paid to do this work. You've done nothing for me. I came to swear them after my driver's license because I went to Lagos once. I forgot my stuff on the bike. So the bike, I'm sure the bike might even know. The thing must have fallen into the gutter or something. So I'm there to swear that my documents are missing. I came, wrote the thing out. You're not supposed to sign. Giving people money is not a problem for me. There are times I just get angry. Okay, why should I give you money? What have you done now today that is not your duty? And if it's beyond your duty, income, you don't know how to bless people. You don't know it's more blessed to give than to receive. One day, my chief and I were driving. That woman who I said trained us in Lagos then. Our car entered into a ditch because we ran into some armed robbers on this road. That's Enugu to Onitsha. On the Chinese Express. This was many, many years ago. And the car entered into the ditch. So later I called some men, come and help us. One said shoulder the pain, and one said back the pain. I felt like saying, if I say amen, you will see what they call back pain. But But finally, they now came and said, how much will I pay to have them push the car out? I looked at them. This is why you will never be rich in your life. It's not possible. No, see, this is not a curse. There are things that God will look at and say, this one, that village poverty is your portion. You see a man in distress, all you are thinking of is, how can I get money from him? So my chief said, no problem. I was so angry, my chief just said, Banky, relax. So I said, we negotiated, I paid them. No, we negotiated, so they called about four of them. Of course, when four men handle a car, it will come out. Four men. I mean, even if in a lorry safe, the lorry will have to be possessed, not to shield, you know, that's not my point. So when it was, I assume, I can't, it's been a long time. Let us assume that time that it was 200 naira that was their money. So we gave them the 200 naira. But there was one little boy, that boy could not have been more than 14. Let's even push it, maybe 16. Who came on his own and was helping us, because he and I had been doing the thing, my oga was a woman, so I told her to just sit down somewhere. So me and this little boy had walked and walked, the car didn't come out. So we're about to leave. If we gave those men 200 naira, my uncle called that boy and gave him 600 naira. Called him from where he was, said, come. Handed him 600 naira. He didn't charge us anything. He was ready to do that and walk away. She just called him, said, you, come. Four men were going to share 200. Only you, take this one. This was long ago. I'm just estimating the figures, but that's what she said, call him. We called the little boy. Give, that is for the, he had gone, that he had finished. When the men came, he had to move back and let men do the work. But she called him and said, you come, take. And that's how God deals with us. The things that you are rushing for, that is the person that will not get. He said, he that loves his life will lose it. Is the one that's willing to let his life go for my sake, that is the one that will find it. Please, what I'm saying is very important too. Because, look, listen, and you must have something in life. It's not everything that you say, okay, is it wrong or is it right? It's not everything that is right that you even do. What I mean by right is that Paul said all things are lawful, but not all of them are expedient. Abraham looked at the goods of the king of Sodom. He said, take it. Just let what the men have taken and the men that went with me. He says, as for me, I have sworn before God, I will not take anything from you, lest you say, I made Abraham rich. I think we need a call, especially for those who are in civil service in Nigeria, to take certain oaths before God so that God can bless them and they will tell other people that you don't have to use corner method to prosper in this life. You know, we start using all kinds of names. Is it bribery or appreciation? No, in your own end, there are cultures you have to personally break. I'm not saying we're fighting everybody. Like, if I stand and say, oh, you're not good unless you give me money. Hey, that was not... it's called extortion. I say, take. Let me go. I'll just keep passing. But if it's the other way around, I must never be the one that stands in somebody's way. Not if, you know, there's corner way of begging. Okay, you don't need to go. You don't need to go. Okay, they go. Okay, now. You don't need to go. they go, leave me alone. We'll greet the guy like 10 times. That one, these days, God has helped me. I'm not always angry. I just say, the man is asking for money. Let us stop. Come. Yes, we done, they go. Meanwhile, hold this one while we are gone. Ah, thank you, sir. You don't have to do it. I know I don't have to do it. But you have been greeting me for the last 5 minutes. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. What is my teaching? What I'm trying to do is to emphasize to us that righteousness is what will exalt you. I say all the time, temptations are called temptations because they are tempting. That is, to do the opposite will always be tempting. You will work in an office, and people who are doing the opposite will make money faster. They will buy a car 3 years before you, and you will look like a fool. But until you look like a fool for Jesus Christ, you are not ready for his prosperity. Did you hear what I said? Until you are ready to look like a fool for the sake of the truth of the Lord Jesus, you are not ready for the prosperity that only him can bring. No, you are not ready for it. We talk about the rise of the righteous. I'm saying to you again, righteousness is what will exalt you. the practice of the doctrine of righteousness, doing what is right for the sake of that which is right. You know what he said? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. He said, because thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Did you notice that? It is not because you labored harder than them, but because you did what? You loved righteousness. You loved righteousness and hated wickedness, hated iniquity. He said, therefore, this is the reason why God will exalt you. This is the reason why God will promote you. This is the reason why God will take you higher than all your fellows. It is not the man, the woman that struggles that gets to the highest place. It is the one that God loves and commits a kingdom into his own hands. Listen, everything you are doing in life, you are supposed to seek one thing, the pleasure of God. Ask yourself, will God be pleased with me as I do this? It's not whether it is right or it is wrong. You must understand this principle I'm trying to bring out. Let me ask you a simple question. We can easily work it out. I close now in a few minutes. When God came to Solomon and said, ask for anything, do you think if Solomon had asked for $1 billion of that time, oh, let's even say, assume it's today now, say, God, give me $10 billion. Do you think God would have given him? Just simple. He would have given him. If he had said, okay, God, increase the number of houses that I have. I want it to go to about, right now, as a prince, I had like 7 houses. I want it to be like 58. Do you think God would have given him? If God said, okay, I want to conquer all the nations around. Do you think God would have given him? Now, ask me a simple question. If God gave it to him, would God have been happy? How do we know that God would not have been happy? Because when he did not ask for those things and he asked for wisdom, God said, ah, in that you did not ask for this and that and this, but you asked for wisdom. Therefore, I will give you the things you did not ask for. What does that tell you? God was happy. Which means if he had asked for those things, God would not have been happy, even though he would have given it to him. Many of the things we struggle for, pray for, sow seed for, fast for, intercede for, after a while, God said, look, angels, give it to him so he can go back to work. He has been praying and praying and praying. Just give it to him. Am I happy? No, I'm not happy. But let the boy be more fruitful. Because he's been here for the last 2 weeks saying, God, give it to me, otherwise I will die here. I don't want him to die here. So give him first. Listen, it's not everything that God gives you that is pleased with giving you. People think that, that's why all these principles of this is how to get it by force, today, today. It's not everything that you get that will be a blessing to you. The Bible said that they lusted after meat in the wilderness. God gave them meat according to their lust, but then that meat brought leanness into their souls. You don't want a blessing that will bring leanness into your soul. Let the blessing of God come to you at a time they will not become a curse. Bishop Oyedepo said they may be slow, but they will be sure. Many people have used force, prayer, working hard, they bought a car. And God says, see, before now, you didn't have this car. When you go to sleep, you used to sleep properly. But now you have this car now. You can't sleep well again. You always check whether somebody has losing the tire. Before, what did concern you about fuel? Now, if they say that they want to increase subsidy, you join those who are protesting. Why? Because you are not yet able to carry this responsibility. And it's not adding anything to your life. Where are you going? Is it not school here? Is it not this particular workplace? You take one bike, you take one bus drop there, and you are back. On Sunday, take a taxi to go to church. They say, no, Emeka already has a car. And I'm a senior. God say, okay, your boy don't sow seed tire. Every prophet that comes, he sows. Every fasting, God after I was okay, guys, arrange him a car. Make sure he has a bad engine. No, God does that. He sends leanness. After that, the boy is always going to mechanic. God just wants to teach him something. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I need to let you get on this, because our society, they make it look as if these are the things that define you. But it's not right. If you are trekking, trek with pride. Trek with righteousness in your soul. Are you getting my point? take pride in some other things. I mean, you know, what are you competing with? There are people, you know, women can be very, very fun. Some women say, no, no, no. Maybe all their holiday time, all their friends carry their children. One went to Dubai, the other went to US, one go London. So the woman that didn't go anywhere, when the husband say, honey, don't leave me alone. You don't know why she's irritable. She's feeling inferior. When they go to church, the next two services, she won't come to church because all her friends have traveled. So it's the school they go to. The children will come back home and say, last holiday. They will talk to their friends. They're not bragging. No. Last holiday, we were in Dubai. I went to see the Boja Arab. So the boy will come home and tell his mother. The mother will now be feeling inferior. Be harassing the man. Harassing the man. I said, withdraw your children from those schools. Carry them to a school where nobody goes anywhere. If you can't, somebody like me, no, God blessed me long ago. Hi. In your heart, you have to say, thank God for this man. No, God blessed him long ago. No, the blessing that God gave me, I have never cared. I can come there. I'll say, you went to America? Now, wow. What did you bring home? Hi. I told the other guy, you didn't go anywhere. I don't go anywhere. I get that kind of money. I'll say flat. I'm not ashamed. I don't. Listen, if you can preach like me, let me see. Sure, you can do is travel. Me, I have where I can do something you can't do. I will tell you straight. There was a day I entered class. I just came to check something. My students are there clapping. I didn't see anything. No. I said, you go and do that one. Can you do it? You can go to America. You can go to London. You can go to places. God in heaven is my witness. I'm not lying to you. I have never stood before somebody and I'll be feeling inferior. For what? Including when I will come with Molue to where you are and you drive down there. Feeling inferior for what? For what? You fine reach me. I know you don't think so, but me, I think so. You understand my point? That I'm the most handsome man in this world. No. Listen, let me tell you the truth. That's one thing you have to learn. You, in this life, you are not set to go and impress anybody. Some people, they are going to the village Christmas time. They have to go with a car. Why? If you don't have a car, go with a keke napep. Now you say, Chinedu, you came with a keke napep. Yes, so. This one not the chop fuel. No. You know, there are revelations God gave me early in life. So I didn't go through some headache. No, they are precious. I've never... Listen, when I got married that time, I didn't have a car. Somebody was saying that whether you try and buy one, I say I don't have. The girl I want to marry, she knows I don't have. Both of us agree that I don't have. And both of us know that it's only God that will bring the thing. So we married like that and we're very happy like that. No, it didn't cross my mind to impress anybody. Impress anybody with what? Listen, this life that I'm living, God called me alone. He's going to judge me against what he wrote in my book. Each person has a book. Your judgment is according to what is written in your book, not according to how you compare with somebody else. One day, one woman, you know, they stole her ring, you know, thieves. Broke into their house, stole her wedding ring. So, you know, when they just look at my wife, they just assume that, this her ring must be pure gold, you know, those kind of things. So the person that came and tells my wife, they stole her ring, wants to buy another one, he doesn't know which one to buy now. So I said, go and buy like this my own now. He said, I don't have that kind of money. My wife said, which kind of money? I bought it for 2,000 naira. The lady said, what? No, I know what did her was at number one. Madam, you are wearing a 2,000 naira ring? Yes, my wife said, no problem. I will show you where they are selling it. Are you interested? Let me come and point the place to you. He just told the guest, simply, listen, this life, you are not here to impress anybody. I'm not joking. God is my witness. If I needed to pay 200,000 naira for a tiny ring for my wife, I can pay it. No, I'm not joking. It won't be a prayer point. It's not, Father, in the name of Jesus, I received that ring by faith. Father, I thank you because I have the cash. That's what I will say to him. But you know the funny thing? It doesn't even cross our minds. So you just go to the market. See another one. I like this one. How much did you buy it? That one, the man said, it's very good. I bought it 2001. Put them. Tomorrow I don't like it and throw them again. It's only small girls who don't have any money that are looking for who to impress. I'm not saying the gold is bad. The one she was wearing before that got lost, it was gold. In fact, she bought that one because she had to travel one time that her ring got missing. So just said, let me quickly buy something. And the thing was just shining and shining and shining and shining and shining and shining. And he kept on shining. And he just kept on wearing it. And there's nothing about, you know, it's when you are competing with people. You are trying to print. No, this one is a Dolce & Gabbana. It's not Dolce & Gabbana. I bought in the Ogbete market. It's 2005. If I remove the ring, my husband is still my husband. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. I'm not competing for your husband with you. So why am I trying to impress you? And my husband knows it. He paid for it. We are happy with it. That thing is so crucial. People are put under unnecessary pressure. You buy things you can't afford because your friend bought something like that. I will tell you if you are my friend, that's very nice. Oh boy, you did try. Oh, it is well with you. You know they buy? Lie. Who go pay? And that's it. There's no fight. No, God gave me that revelation long ago. My life has been sweet for a very long time. For a very, very long time. I had the reputation at a time for sincerity. I didn't know how to pretend. If I'm entering a plane for the first time, I'll ask the man in front of me, hello, sir. This is my first time. Can I follow you? No, do you know? You know, some people, they will think I'm a bushman. Listen, you can only think that once. And I won't see you again. I mean, who's going to see you again? If I enter a place, they say they arrange for cutlery. How do they? I will tell the person beside me, oh boy, I never shopped for this kind of place before. How do they use this thing? Some people want to go and pretend like, yes, we are used to it. This is the kind of thing we eat all the time. Oh, Father, I worship you. At least it has never been a pressure in my soul. First time I went to the U.S., that I went to buy food. I like to tell this story all the time. My brother-in-law, he left me alone. He gave me his car to use. And because the way America is, if you have to use taxi, and use all your money. Taxis are so expensive. And they don't have good buses and public transport. So you really have to drive. I had to drive. The time to buy food, I just went to where they were selling food. And you know, they don't have a fuel attendant. Come here. Oh, yeah, stop. Open your this. How much do you want? They don't have. You go to the filling station, there's nobody. You will bring out your card, put it inside, carry the thing, sell your own fuel by yourself. Before I go spoil somebody something, so I just waited. I parked the car there, I waited. So, one Yoruba woman came to buy fuel. I just went, good morning, ma'am. I'm from Nigeria. This is my first time in the United States. Please, I need to buy fuel. Of course, she was so nice. Here's my card. She collected the card. All right, you come over here. Yeah, you do like this? Yes, thank you very much, ma'am. Put it in. Uh-huh. This is the only time I'll look like a fool. The next time I came back, I was used to it too. Buy your phone. My car, go. Many of the people you are pretending for, they are also pretending, you don't know. Many of them are also pretending. But I thank God, I've always had my confidence in what I am in Christ Jesus. I'm accepted before God. God loves me. And I don't owe anybody. I don't owe anybody trying to look good in his eyes. God loves me and I love him like that. Listen, if you understand that, many of the things that tempt people to make them put their hands into unrighteousness will never be a temptation for you. Let me end my message there. You are righteous in Christ Jesus. What you will do is to walk in that righteousness. And God will use the obedience to those principles of righteousness to elevate you. Good will come upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. As God is developing this land and developing this nation, developing this entire continent, you will be above alone, you will not be beneath in the name of Jesus Christ. That king went to go and take kingdoms for himself. He went and took kingdoms. When he came back, he put his servants, he said, you be in charge of 5 cities. You'll be in charge of 10 cities. I prophesy to you again today that you will also be in charge of many cities in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bishop Oyedepo said, life is not an achievement, it's a receivement. That is, what you will have in life is because God gave that thing to you. But you have to qualify for it by practicing righteousness on a daily basis. The strength to practice righteousness, receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit will be with you. It will give you the strength. It will give you a reminder word that no, this is not how to do it. This is the right way to do it. and you will obey him, and you will prosper thereby in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is well with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It is well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I never forget to drop this for today's Christians. You are not under a curse in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
All ancestral curses have been broken out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No witch in the village can afflict you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You don't need that special deliverance session. It's a waste of time. You have been delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus. I say you have been delivered by the power of the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
He said, man of God, but I have problems. Who doesn't have problems? All problems are supposed to be solved. You will solve your problems by prayer and by obedience to the revelation that God will give you. Solution will be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The cycle of poverty that many people here have had, it is because they have been rushing after money. God said, leave money alone. Come and seek my face. Come and understand me. Come and be like me. And prosperity, I will add it to you quicker than you ever expected. That is a word of God for somebody. The more you run after money, the more it runs farther away from you. The way to be rich in life is to turn to God and run towards God. Then all other things will follow you. I said they will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you will not die young in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Every sickness that's attaching itself to you, I speak against them now by the power of the body of Christ that was nailed to that cross. By the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed for you, I speak to those sicknesses, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I speak to them, be gone in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
If there's a woman there that's believing God for conception of a child, I speak to you now, receive it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Any person there, man or woman, believing God for a breakthrough in their businesses, I pray for one thing for you. God will give you direction in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Many people, the reason why they have not had breakthrough is because they've been running in a direction that God did not want them to go. That is why sometimes all God gives you is a redirection. The wisdom to move in the right direction. Receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Where you have been running to men for help, move away from there. Get back home. Settle down and get down on your knees. David said, who do I have in heaven but thee? But upon this earth, I have desired no other. The people that God will use to help you, he will send them to you by himself. You will not have to be running after them. Receive God's help, therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. He said, that word is able to build you up and give you your own inheritance amongst those who are sanctified. What am I saying? For giving attention to the word of God these few days, you are being built up and your inheritance will come to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. Let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.